where?
When in Shmuel Aleph, where in Perek Yud, or in the middle of Perek Yud, we're up to Pasuk Ches, page 60. It's been a while to the, so much that I made new packets, even though we learned a little bit before. So the beginning of this parak discusses how Shmuel anoints Shaul, and just to remind all the way back when we were discussing this about the, how what he used, did he use a vessel which was more permanent in nature, like a keren? Didn't. And it shows his, it was a pach shemen, a flask, something temporary, because after all, he comes from Shevet Binyamin. How long is he going to be a melech? It's just for Shaul and no one else. But at least here, he was anointed. And then what we concluded with last time is we saw that there are different signs that were given to Shaul to prove beyond a shadow of a doubt that in fact he is the melech. And he was told that, you know, donkeys were found. He had the situation where he would be told about, he'd be seeing some people and they would give him bread on the street. And also he would see some musicians who also happened to be Nevi'im, and he would prophesize with them. So, with that said, let's see Pasuk Ches. Pasuk Zion. Bahaya kisa vona oso sa'elilach, and will be when you see these signs, and they'll come exactly as I said to you, Shaul, so they will happen. Asilcha asher timsa yadacha, then these things will be found in your hands. Ki okimi moch, because Hashem is with you. V'yiranta lefonai ha'gilgol v'hini anochi yored eilecha v'ha'alos olos l'zbach zif l'shlamen. So now Shmuel tells Shaul, one of the first things that he has to be aware of is that you're going to go down to a place called Gilgal, and there various karbanos are going to be offered, an ola, shlomim, shivas yomim, tochel ad boi eilecha. You have to wait for 7 days until I, Shmuel, come to you. Then I'll tell you what you're supposed to do. We're going to see this is going to be one his first mistake. And that Shaul is going to be confronted with a milchama, and he's going to think that he has to react immediately. Yet he was not really supposed to do anything, as this pasuk says, until 7 days until Shmuel comes. And therefore he felt this pressure, which we'll get to later on. But nonetheless, this is what he is being told, that you will... you'll need to go to this place and wait for me there. Bahaya and will be kihapnoso shichmo leleches me'im Shmuel vaya hafoch lo elokim leiv acher. So it says that as soon as Shaul departed and separated from Shmuel, so what happened? Vaya hafoch lo elokim leiv acher. So Hashem completely changed him, almost miraculously, that he has a different heart, a completely different human being. We have all kol osos so eileh b'yom ha'hu. Not only that, but all the osos, the signs which Shmuel said were going to happen to him, it's exactly what happened. So the question is, what does it mean? V'ha'poch l'alkim le'v'acher. Did Hashem really change him physically, miraculously? So Rashi says, in Pasuk Tes, le'v'acher ruach Ruas Malchus. So it means that he was given this power, this strength of being a melech. So it's lav dafka that he became someone completely different, but now that he accepted this position, it's often when a person is given a position, a role, they have to live up to that responsibility to be successful in that position. And therefore, once Hashem allowed him to accept this position, he automatically accepted a level of gevura, power that came along with the position, and possibly also courage. Pasuk Yud v'yavahu sham hagivasa v'hine chevel nevi'im likraso. So exactly what happened? He doesn't mention the first two osos, but the third one is mentioned over here. And he went to givasa, the translation is the hill. Behold, there was this Chevel Nevi'im Akrasso, this band of Nevi'im, these prophets were coming to greet him. But Tislach lo Ruach Elokim bisnabe b'socha. Now, not only did they have a nevuah, but interestingly enough, we also find that Shaul bisnabe, he also becomes a Nabi, which we're going to see is the only time that he becomes a Nabi, because we're going to see in a moment that a Nabi cannot be a Melech. He cannot have both positions. He can't be a king and a prophet. It just doesn't go, and we'll discuss why. But nonetheless, for some reason, for this one moment in time, he was given, Shaul was given the status of a Nabi and also a Melech. We'll understand this a little bit better in a few seconds.
Although for virtually, even though he didn't have the official title Melech, Moshe Rabbeinu.
Oh, since you brought it up. Well, he, in a lot of sources, he is considered like a Melech. So you're right. So it's brought down in the Zohar, since you brought it down. So the Zohar Kadosh says as follows. I'll just share with you these couple of lines, not in your packet. Nevuah u'malchus l'nisnu yachad l'adam echad b'olam. So you cannot receive both of these positions simultaneously. You can't have both, prophecy and malchus. Levad me'moshe, re'a me'himna. Excluding Moshe Rabbeinu, our trustworthy shepherd, shezoch l'shnehem gam yachad. He was, of course, a Navi, and he was also considered as a Melech. So for some reason, there's a rule that you can't be a Navi and a Melech. For some reason, we broke the rule by Moshe, but it doesn't apply anywhere else. That's what the Zohar says. Right, so the Zohar asks two questions. V'al tishal mishmuel, don't ask, hi, how about Shmuel? Shmuel was a Navi. He was also a leader. Yeah, but ki u'hoyim melech ki'im dain v'shofet. So he wasn't a king. But he had a position of leadership. But that's not a problem. You can be a position of leadership and be a Navi, but you can't be a Melech and be a Navi. Aye, how about Shaul? We just said over here that Shaul was, of course, anointed as a Melech, and he's a Navi. So don't we see that this rule applies over here, is broken here as well? Shaul Zachon Nevuah, the truth is, Shaul, who only received this prophecy this one time, is Elokidesh to over bo Ruach HaKodesh, so that it should be awakened and aroused within him this level of Ruchnias and spirituality, Kitesh Tachol Olav Ruach Tavunah HaKodesh Baruch Hu, so that he'll be able to glean the proper understanding and knowledge of Hashem, Kitesh Yochelios Melech, in order to be a king. Abul Achar Kach, he says, afterwards, Lo Hoysel Nevuah. He no longer became a prophet. Once he was associating himself with other Nevi'im, sometimes once we're with Tzaddikim, we also become a little bit better people. Olya Rasha L'Shcheino can work the opposite as well. So when he was around the Nevi'im, he was able to get this Nevuah. Once he left, he wasn't a Navi. So first of all, you see the power of association, being around the right people. But Shaul was really not really a Navi. It was only given this one moment of being a Navi to connect to God. So the question is, but there are other Navi, other kings. We don't find that when it comes to other kings, we find that they're given a Nevuah even for a second. So why over here? Some explain is that the whole reason why they wanted to appoint a Melech to begin with was Kechol HaGoyim. They wanted to be like the other kings. In fact, we'll see at the end of this parak, which we probably won't get to today, is that they wanted a king in exclusion of Melech Malchei Melechim, exclusion of God. So therefore, they wanted to disassociate and disconnect themselves from spirituality. And therefore, it was necessary, specifically when it came to 8 o'clock.
You can imagine that if Shaul was a Navi,
right,
and knew what the consequences of his actions with Amalek were going to be,
right,
he wouldn't have done it. But it's almost like you say, well, that's probably why you can't have that, because it's almost like somebody who has a time machine and he can go back in time and change the course of history. And if he's the Melech, he's leading history and has to go in a certain direction. If he's a Navi in those days, this is not going to be good. Two generations of that, he changes it.
That's a good point, too. That's right.
Moshe Rabbeinu being the only one who could do that, Because Moshe Rabbeinu was anav mikol adam, and whatever you told him, he did. He didn't say, I can't do this, but it's going to cause harm.
Right.
God told him, do it. He did it.
Right. That's an interesting difference between Moshe and the other Nevi'im. He brings down a different explanation according to the words of the Rambam. He says that when it came to the Nevuah, typically the idea of a Nevuah is that it causes bitul kochos haguf. So what happens, you don't just get a Nevuah and you're walking around smiling, you see Nevuah, it knocks you out. You're sleeping, you have some type of a dream, or things of that nature. Good evening. But a person becomes physically weakened upon receiving the Nevuah. And the Rambam says that that's the Rambam's explanation. He says, "V'hamelach hari musar mufkad al tzarchei am," that a king has to constantly be prepared and ready to do the needs of the nation, and therefore v'hanhagaso b'yom v'layla, he has to be prepared day and night. For example, as the Rambam says elsewhere, "Hamelach also lishtos derech shichus," right? One of the people we know can't become kings because you're not to be a drunk. You're not to get intoxicated. A king is not to be drunk. Because he always has to be alert. He always has to be ready. He can never have a moment of showing any signs of weakness. Therefore, this is how he's masber, that a navi cannot be a melech. Because if you're a melech, you need to be always ready, alert. A navi, the time of receiving the nevuah, you're out. Except when it comes to Moshe Rabbeinu, so how does he explain Moshe Rabbeinu? Avo Moshe Rabbeinu Avo Shalom, Shigam Kishoyim Kabel Nevuah, Hayin Nishar Al Unbuchol Kochos Ago. So he was able to, Lokam Yisuk Moshe, there was no one like Moshe, he was able to receive Nevuah not through dreams, riddles, but he was able to receive
it. Dreamer in a trance state, he was wide awake.
He was wide awake. And therefore, Moshe was capable of having still showing Malchus at the B'shas Nevuah, the time of the prophecy. However, anyone else is not shaykh to it, and therefore because of that, we don't allow it. And this is one of the reasons some people explain, like by one of our past presidents, FDR, that he refused to ever get his picture taken in his wheelchair, right? He never wanted, why? Because he felt, well, maybe nowadays, I don't know if it's the same perception, but then the perception of weakness. There's a perception of weakness. At least that's what he said. That was his fear. I'm not sure if it necessarily would be as much of an issue now. Possibly it could still be on some level.
I say that the only manki or melech who can cry in public is a melech Israel. Because he can have see his nothingness compared to what is proper. But any other melech would be a sign of weakness.
In the second paragraph in Sanhedrin, which is what we're learning in the morning, we're discussing what a melech, one of his relatives passes away, what exactly he's allowed to do. And he has to certainly minimize his signs of mourning. It's possible also, our Shiva explains that in Parshas Chayisara, that we find by Avraham Avinu that the Baal Turim shtels on this letter, V'liv Chosa, with a small chaf. Why is it written small? So he didn't cry as much. So why didn't he cry as much? That's different questions, why, different explanations. But Mershiv explains that Avraham Avinu was not just a simple guy. He was like in a position of leadership. So similar, if you can use the same idea, that he was not allowed to let go as much as a typical person in mourning because it could show some level of being vulnerable or signs of weakness. So anyways, that's how the Zohar explains that typically speaking, we do not receive, a melech is not shayach to receive a nevuah, because they just don't go hand in hand. Okay, so that was the idea of, we're talking now on page 62, we just saw a pasuk was that, pasuk yud, that said that he received a nevuah, right? That he is nabei besocham. That Shaul normally would not be a nabi. He never would. He's Shaul's a melech. He just became a king. But he is nabei besocham this one time and this one time only. Pasuk it out. Vayhi kol yodo mi'itmo shel shom. Anyone that knew Shaul from...
Again, we reach Pasuk Yud Aleph.
We're on Pasuk Yud Aleph on page 62. Here, let's use this one. Okay? Sorry if there was a mistake in the copy.
Don't worry.
Anyone that knew Shaul from yesterday, the day before, V'iru, they would see V'hine in the V'im Niba. And behold, V'hine, we find a lot of times, it's just something which is unique, something which wasn't before, it just happened. V'hine, like we find by Rivka, right, says, by Leah, right, that he woke up in the morning and there's Leah, V'hine. So something which was a surprise, something which is unusual, something which wasn't there before. V'hine im neviim niba. So people who knew Shaul not as a Navi, all of a sudden experienced this happening, that now all of a sudden he's prophesizing. V'yomer ha'am, and the nation spoke Isha Re'ehu, so they, even then they had their share of gossip, and I guess a little Lashon Hara can't hurt for them. Ma'zeh ha'ay le'ben Kish. What is this guy, this Ben Kish? Doesn't even have the decency to call him by his first name. And Shaul is obviously no slouch. He happens also to be a melech. Not everyone knows about that. We're going to see in a few moments that they're going to actually do a lottery system to determine that he'll be the melech. Hagam Shaul ben Avim? Also Shaul should be among the prophets. So therefore, people were just surprised to have heard that Shaul was capable of being a Navi. Either you can say, well, it's a big deal. People grow. Well, it's possible. Let's pretend that they already knew that he was a Melech. So if they knew he was a Melech, then the question is, how could he be a Melech and a Navi? So that's one explanation. And the other simple explanation of Gam Shaul ben Avim is that this was something which was very surprising because he was never showed any signs of Nevuah prior. Pasuk Yud-Beis. Vayan ish mishom v'yomer mi avihem. So then people would ask the question, who is his father? Which is strange, because the pasuk before, they just called him Ben Kish. But now they're asking mi avihem. We'll see Rashi in a second. Al-Kain, therefore, hoysel mashal, therefore it is, like a mashal, the parable, hagam shal ben Nevi'im. Also shal is a prophet. So they would use this expression for all different conversations. So Hagam Shaul Nevi'im is a nice way of saying, wow, I can't believe you even did that. Even this person could accomplish this. Even you could do that. So it's just an expression which is borrowed for things which aren't related to this at all. Hagam Shaul Nevi'im, because it was something which was so surprising and so bizarre that Shaul, in fact, had this position of not only being a Melech, even the people who may not have known he was a Melech, but certainly surprising that he was a Navi. So the question is, what is this Indian over here about focusing on the father, Umi Avihem? So if we look in Rashi says in Pasuk Yud Beis, Umi Avihem, Ma Teim Locha B'davar. What exactly is this question? Mi Avihem Shel Nevi'im. Who is the father of these prophets? V'chi Nevua Yerushahi? After all, is a Nevua a Yerusha? Just because your father and your grandfather's a Navi does not necessarily make you a Navi. So therefore, the question, the way that Rashi's framing it is, so what who his father is? If his father isn't a Navi, his father is a Navi. Umi Avihim, what difference does it make whether or not his father, Kish, is a Navi? So they weren't really asking Umi Avihem, because they already knew in the previous Pasuk, after all, they called him Ben Kish. So when it says Umi Avihem, it means, who are you to say that he's not capable of reaching the level of prophecy, if in fact, because of his father? After all, V'chi Nevua Yerushahi. So this concept is also borrowed when it comes to Torah. There's a Mishnah Parkei Avos that says that Torah is also not a Yerusha. Just because your parents, your grandparents, maybe Talmi Chachamim, does not guarantee that you will be a Navi, a Chacham either. Now, even though it does say in the Pasuk, Torah Sivlanu Moshe Morasha, right, which says that the Torah is a Yerusha, so the traditional pshat is that, what does it mean to Yerusha? It means that the Klal Yisrael received the Torah, and Ben Acher Ben, generation after generation, the Torah is given to us. But that you get, but that doesn't mean necessarily you're going to retain, doesn't necessarily mean you're going to appreciate.
Isn't it in your genes? I mean, your grandfather was obviously Yitzhak Amos Poplar. It's in the genes.
Not exactly. Yeah, what I would...
Chi Nevu Yerushahi. There's no guarantee. You're given the maybe more opportunities based on your family background, but there's no guarantees you're going to embrace them.
See, I would look at it a little differently. That's not what we mean biological form. Because we have Moshe is called Avi and the Vim.
Right.
And in Beit Din, we have Av Beis Din. You know, it's usually the person who runs it and guides it and who's the role model for it or whatever. And you would say if he's a Navi, who taught him to be a Navi? Because the Navius was something that in those days was learned. He went to school for that.
So mi avihem means how did he acquire?
Yeah, who was his teacher?
Who was his leader?
Who was his rabbi?
Okay, it's interesting,
Shah.
So, go ahead. What does that mean?
That their father also wasn't a Novi, so why should he be a Novi?
Right. But the way the Rashi is saying is that so what? Just because your father's not a Novi doesn't necessarily mean that you're not going to be a Novi. It may help, but it's not necessarily a reason that you're not going to become a nun. Okay, let's stop here. Not in regards to the Kodesh Baruch Hu, so I'm going to turn around to our Mr. Shnemar. I don't know if I've answered my answer. Go ahead and turn off your dear.